callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. at length we pray. To the bright courts of heaven, and to the endless
Jeremiah 10, verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might.
Jeremiah 10, verse 7 and 10. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations, for thee doth it appear to me, for as much as among all the wise men of the nation, and in their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation.
Thank you. chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'"
Thank you.
2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared.
Matthew 2, 8 and 9. And when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was.
Hold on light.
Matthew 2, verses 10, 11, and 12.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Thank you. Revelation 22:16.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star.
In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we read this. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are mysteries concerning the Christmas story, and one of them that I think children most of all gear into, at least I did when I was your age, some of you, is that very mysterious star that appeared and out of seemingly nowhere, and it moved unlike other stars, and it identified Jesus. It came and stood over the very house where Jesus was. Besides the mystery of the star, we have another mystery that we don't generally think as much about, and that is the mystery of the wise men who were guided by that star. There's very much we don't know about them. We don't know how many wise men there were. The pictures always have three, but we don't really know that. We don't know for sure what country they came from. And we don't know for sure how it was that they knew the meaning of that mysterious star up in the heavens, the meaning that the promised king had been born. Somehow the word of God got to them. We don't know how. But there are things we do know. We know they came from the east, and we know they were very, very wise. And they knew a lot about the Lord Jesus. You can tell this by the gifts that they gave him. They came in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I believe the only one who's ever been born a king. Usually, these men grew, the children grew, and when they were older, they became king. But this one was born king. And they knew that, and it showed in the very first gift that they gave him, the gift of gold. All the way through Scripture, gold is the color of a king. We think back to the shepherd, King David, who didn't have much gold during his lifetime. He was a type of Jesus. We see him being persecuted by Saul and suffering for much of his life. But then his son Solomon was also a type of Jesus, only this time a type of Jesus in his glory. And in Solomon's day, gold and silver abounded in the Holy Land like stones. Solomon was extremely wealthy. Part of his reign is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10. The word gold there is mentioned 14 times. And there was a very mysterious visitor that came to Solomon when he became king. She was the Queen of Sheba. Her visit is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10. I'm just going to read the first two verses. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart." Well, the New Testament equivalent to the Queen of Sheba is the wise men. The wise men who came from a far eastern country, maybe even from hundreds and hundreds of miles away. It might have taken them as long as 2 years to make the journey. An amazing miracle. And the first thing they gave him was gold. It was kind of an oddity, wasn't it? The Son of God lived in this earth as a poor human being for just about all of his life. He had nowhere to lay his head. When he wanted to make a point by looking at a coin, he had to ask someone else for one. He seems to have not had one himself. But he was very rich when he was born. And we see God providing his foster father Joseph and his mother Mary with the means they had to flee down into Egypt to escape from Herod, and the gold would provide them the money to be able to do it. But he was a king as soon as he was born. That was the first gift. Second gift was frankincense. This zeroed in more on Jesus as a priest. Frankincense is used in the Old Testament with offerings to God to give them a sweet smell. The word incense is in the word frankincense. We think of Leviticus chapter 2, the opening verses. "And when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, And he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn it, the memorial of it, upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The frankincense was what made the offering smell good to the Lord God. Incense sometimes was used with prayer, which was one of the duties of the priests in that day, to offer prayers to God for the people. In Psalm 141, we read this in verse 2. David said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." Now, perhaps the most mysterious of the gifts was myrrh. What did myrrh signify? And interestingly enough, frankincense and myrrh occur together only four times in the whole Bible. Three of these times, the frankincense and myrrh occur in a book of the Song of Solomon, which is maybe the deepest book in all Scripture. It's a love poem between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And three times the combination of frankincense and myrrh occur in the Song of Solomon. The only other time this combination occurs is when the wise men came and offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, what did the myrrh signify? Commentators tell us that it was kind of a healing salve. It gave you relief from pain. Sometimes say even a relief from depression. But Scripture goes much deeper than that. Myrrh was something that people used in that day to embalm the bodies or anoint the bodies of the dead. And John 19, we find myrrh mysteriously appearing again. I'm reading from verses 38 to 39. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." So the body of the dead was anointed, as it were, with myrrh. And the wise men had this in mind too. They knew that he was the only king. They knew that it was him that would give a sweet smell or incense to God when his people prayed to them. And they also knew what it was that made that sweet smell. It was his precious blood. And so these wise men knew that he was born in order to die. And so the myrrh. But the three gifts together show how wise these men really were. They presented him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Right now we have the privilege of, we're going to have the whole congregation join in this. The singing of what some people have called the most beautiful words that have ever been written. And they're words that most of us learned as little children and remember them until the day we die. The beautiful rendering the Holy Spirit gives us in Luke chapter 2. We're thankful to have those of you who are with us this morning via the speakerphone. And we wish you a very Merry Christmas and Blessed New Year from all of us here at Water of Life. We'll now close with some special music.